This is Old Time Radio Drama. Good evening. I'm Norman Gilliland. Tonight, well, Lum and Abner back at it, trying to figure out what to do with Ellie, also known now as Mary, who is on the lam from, well, reform school, and might be going to Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin. We'll find out in two episodes later tonight. NBC's short story with a tale called Honor by William Faulkner about wing walkers. We'll have yours truly, Johnny Dollar, with the Wayward Widow matter from 1957. You Bet Your Life with who else but Groucho Marx and George Fenneman. And the Weird Circle tonight at about 10:30 with the Wooden Ghost taking us to Holland. We'll start with this not very auspiciously titled episode of Gunsmoke, Lynching. We have a divided lynching committee, rather in the tradition of the Oxbow incident. And we'll find out whether they proceed or whether they don't, and if they do, what Matt might do in response. Our story, starring, of course, William Conrad, comes from August 16, 1952.
City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Over here. All right. Let me get this noose around your dirty neck and you'll be swinging in no time. There. Not too tight, is it? I wouldn't want you to be uncomfortable.
That's enough of that, Camp.
What? Who said that?
I did.
I said it. Rice Stewart. What's the matter, you turning yellow?
And get this over with, Cam. Why devil him?
Because that's what he is. That's why.
Shut up. I'll take care of you in a minute. Rice, you got anything against my hanging this murderer?
Just don't devil him, that's all. Get it over with.
I'll do it my way. It's my brother he shot, isn't it? And in the back, too. Rice, maybe you'd like me to turn this bushwhacker loose. Is that it?
Oh, we'll ask him his name. Nobody's even asked him his name.
You'll hate this night, all of you. I was in on a lynching once, and I swore I'd never be in on another.
Well, I guess the joke's on you, isn't it, fella?
Look, I hear you laugh again, Cam, so help me, I'll shoot you.
Maybe you shouldn't be here, Rice.
How can you hang a man you don't even know his name?
What do I care what his name is?
So long as he pays for murdering Job.
What's your name, fella? What do you care? You don't want to stop him. You just want it off your conscience, that's all.
Tell me your name.
It's Billy Saxton, that's my name, Billy Saxton. How's it sound?
Billy? Why'd you kill Job Powell?
That's enough talk.
What difference it make? He killed him, and that's all I need to know.
Yeah, what do you care? He's gonna hang me anyway.
Sure I am. Right now.
Billy, I got a rifle. I'll end it for you when we ride off.
You won't have to strangle for long.
Thanks, mister. Thanks.
Get back, Rice. I'm going to slap that horse out from under him. You ready?
That for you!
Let's go, men.
Conceal the hour of their death. Grant that we may pass our days in the practice of holiness and justice, and that we may be able to quit this world in the peace of a good conscience. Amen.
Amen.
May Job Powell rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, boys. Thank you.
Good morning, Cam. I'm sorry to be here about Job.
You're late for the burial, Marshal.
Well, I was out at Fort Dodge last night. I just heard about it this morning. Preacher?
We are in the Valley of the Shadow of Death, Marshal Dillon.
Well, if you're all through here now, I wonder if you'd read a few prayers over another man. We got him in a grave just over the hill with.
Another man?
Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job 5:7. Who was this man, Marshal? How did he die?
He was murdered last night.
I didn't hear about any murder outside of Job here. Where was this shooting, Marshal?
It wasn't a shooting. It was a lynching.
I just buried my brother, Marshal. Billy Saxton shot him in the back. Aren't you using the word murder a little loose around here?
Only the law can hang a man without it being murder, Cam.
The law's too slow sometimes.
You know something about this?
All I say is that he shot my brother and he deserved hanging.
Hanging, maybe. Lynching's a different matter.
What difference it make? He got what was coming to him.
He had a fair trial coming to him, like any man. For example, Cam, I'll try to see that you get one.
What?
If you're guilty of leading that lynch party.
Well, say it out, Marshal. You accusing me?
I got no evidence.
And you won't get any. There isn't a man in the country who'll stand still for bushwhacking. Saxton got his due, and that's that.
Maybe. All right, come on, preacher. Let's bury him.
Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Genesis 9:6. Show me the grave, Marshal.
Why don't you just arrest Cam Powell, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, he won't admit anything, Chester, and I can't find a witness.
Must be somebody who'll talk.
Cam's a bigger man than ever now with Job dead. The others don't want to cross him.
Mm-hmm. He owns a lot of land, all right.
And Job also owned a piece of the bank. Cam will get that now. Ranchers always need money, so they won't talk.
Yes, and maybe they're ashamed, too, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe.
I saw lynching once, and not a man there could look in the eye for a long time afterwards.
You weren't in on it, were you, Chester?
Oh, my gracious, no, Mr. Dillon. I was just a small boy. That was back in Waco. They hung a cousin of mine there.
Oh, why?
Well, sir, it's kind of hard to explain. He was about as honest a fellow as I ever knew, outside of some loose notions about other people's cattle. But, Mr. Dillon, I just don't believe that struck him as stealing.
Why not?
Well, because there wasn't anything personal about it, if you know what I mean.
Well, I don't, but maybe you can explain it to me.
Well, sir, just that there was all those cattle running loose on the plains, and I guess they seemed like a natural part of the landscape to him. He figured anybody could own them.
Your cousin wasn't very bright, was he, Chester?
I didn't know him well enough to say, Mr. Dillon. But anyway, they shouldn't have lynched him.
No. No, they shouldn't have. And nobody's going to get by with lynching around Dodge if I have anything to do with it.
No, sir.
I heard Billy Saxton was at the Texas Trail last night. Maybe I can start there.
He sure must have hated Job to kill him like that, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. I'll be back later, Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Hello, Kitty.
Hello.
Well, I can remember when you'd give me a smile. What's the matter?
Nothing, Matt.
Someone been bothering you?
You might put it that way. Where were you last night, Matt? Why weren't you around?
Yeah, Chester and I rode out to Fort Dodge on business. It was late, so we slept there. I thought this town could go one night without trouble.
You sure thought wrong, didn't you?
You're upset about the lynchings, I didn't.
That's it. Aren't you?
I heard Billy Saxton spent some time in here yesterday.
I hate men. I think they're awful, savage beasts.
It'd be worse if it weren't for the law, Kitty. Now, tell me about Saxton.
He could tell you himself, Matt, if you hadn't picked last night to wander out of town.
Now, Kitty, this isn't like you.
I'm sorry, Matt. He seemed like such a nice kid.
Where was he from? I never heard of him around here before.
The Dakotas, somewhere. He was just a cow puncher looking for a job. No more a gunman than I am.
Oh, you can't be sure, Kitty. He'd say he'd ever been in Texas?
The Powells came from Texas, didn't they?
Amarillo.
Billy never mentioned Texas one way or the other.
What'd he talk about?
Horses, mostly. How he'd like to have a little spread of his own someday. And a woman.
I see.
And he talked nice about it. He wasn't like these hard cases around here.
Anything else?
Cam Powell was in this morning. Told me not to talk about Billy. Especially to you.
No? What'd you say?
I told him I'm not afraid of him, but maybe you are. So why didn't he warn you against talking to me?
That pleasing?
I also told him if I was a man, I'd kill him.
Who else was in on it, Kitty?
I don't know. One thing, though. Rice Stewart came in here last night. Must have been afterwards. He sat over there in that corner and got drunk all by himself. Real drunk.
It's not like Rice.
No. But maybe he was in on it and couldn't stand himself afterwards. Maybe that's why he had to get drunk.
Well, I'll go see him.
Anyone who was there would be in trouble, too. Wouldn't they, Matt?
Yeah. But I have a feeling Cam really headed this thing, and if I can prove it, I'll have him up for murder.
I'll keep my ears open, Matt.
Thank you, Kitty. I think I'll ride out to the Stewart Ranch. Rice isn't a man who can lie with much conviction.
Good luck, Matt.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
We'll return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, do you know how old the school building in your community is? If it's over 25 years old, the chances are that it's woefully inadequate to the present demands on it. Join with the groups in your community working for better school conditions. Remember, better schools build a stronger America. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
Hello? Anybody around?
Sit down, Marshal. I'm coming out of the sun.
Well, thank you, Miss Stewart.
Got a pot of coffee on the stove, Marshal.
Oh, thank you, ma'am, but I'd like to find Rice first.
Anything wrong, Marshal?
No, I'd just like to talk to him.
Rice come home real late last night, and he was awful drunk. First time in years.
If you'll forgive me, Miss Stewart, I'd better find him.
All right. Guess I'd rather Rice told me about it himself. Must be something up. Cam Powell was by earlier. Hasn't been around in months.
What'd you say Rice was, ma'am?
Hasn't strayed far from the house today. Keeps coming in for coffee. Think he's drunk a gallon already.
Well, I'll be back for some myself in a little while.
Sure, Marshal.
Rice, you in here?
I'm here. Who is it?
It's Matt Dillon.
Oh.
Hello, Marshal.
Hello, Rice. Can I take a little of your time?
I'd ask you up to the house, Marshal, but I think I'd rather talk here.
Miss Stewart already asked me in. She hasn't heard about what happened in Dodge last night, has she, Rice?
No, Marshal, she hasn't.
How come you didn't mention it to her?
What I tell my wife is my business, Marshal.
Yeah, sure. But you know, she's bound to hear about it later. Maybe she'll wonder why you didn't tell her right off.
That's still my business.
She said Cam Powell was here this morning.
Anything wrong in that?
You don't feel very good today, do you, Rice?
I got drunk yesterday. Last night I got drunker.
Is that what's bothering you?
Well, I'm not as young as I used to be, that's all.
You're a poor liar, Rice. I figured you would be.
Yeah, I suppose I am.
Look, Rice, I've known you for 4 years, and I've never heard a bad word against you. But yesterday you were a little drunk and got mixed up in something you're ashamed of now. Cam Powell's threatened you if you talk about it. Isn't that right?
That's right, Marshal.
Well, have you decided what you're going to do about it?
I don't know, Marshal. I just don't know.
Well, then maybe I'm wrong about you. Maybe you know better than Cam and the rest of them.
But it's done with now, Marshal. Why can't we just forget about it?
We just can't forget a lynching, Rice. That'd make it too easy for the next one to happen.
I'll kill the man that starts another
one. Then why are you going to let Cam get by with this one?
Well, by heaven, I'm not. I should have stopped it then. I don't know what was wrong with me, but I'll face up to it now. What do you want to know, Marshal?
Where were you when Job got shot?
At the Longhorn. About six of us were having supper. Job went down the street for some cigars, and then we heard a shot out back, and we run through the kitchen and found the cook outside holding Billy Saxton.
Mm-hmm.
He'd shot Job when he passed the street end of the alley.
Did the cook see it?
Oh, she said he did.
Then what happened?
And Cam went crazy when he found Job was dead. I don't know, Marshal, but before I knew it, we'd slipped out of town with that boy. Cam hung him on that little tree about a half mile down the road.
Yeah, I know. I cut him down.
And that cook, Hank something or other. I remember he grabbed Saxon's gun when we run out back. I can't get it off my mind. Nobody ever even looked at the boy's gun to see if it had been fired. Cam just hung him on the cook's word for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rice. Thank you. Will you be a witness if I need you?
I'll see you through now, Marshal. All the way. Oh. I feel better already.
All right. Let's go get some of your wife's coffee, Rice.
Yeah.
Then I gotta get back to Dodge.
Good coffee, Marshal.
Chester? Chester? Chester, where are you?
I'm out back, Mr. Dillon. I'll be right in.
What? What's that you've got all over you?
Paint, Mr. Dillon. White paint.
Paint? Well, where'd you get it? Now, what are you up to now, Chester?
I sent St. Louis for it, sir. I thought it'd be a good idea to make the hitching rail out back all white.
Well, what for?
Well, sir, we might be in an awful big hurry some night, and that...
All right, Chester. All right. Look, I want you to go get cleaned up. I want you to have supper at the Longhorn tonight.
Well, I sure do thank you, Mr. Dillon.
No, Chester. I want you to go there alone.
Oh. Yes, sir?
It's for a reason. Do you know the cook over there, Hank something or other?
That's Hank Ashford. He's not a very good cook, Mr. Dillon.
How long's he been around?
Oh, about a week. I don't think he likes cooking much. He don't seem to be very willing either.
Well, it doesn't matter. I doubt if he'll be around for long.
Why not, sir?
I'm guessing that he'll be wanting to get out of Dodge fast after you let it drop real casual-like, mind, that I've ridden out to arrest Cam Powell.
Is that so? You going to bring Cam in tonight, Mr. Dillon?
No. You're just going to make Hank Ashford think I am. And don't let anyone else hear about it, though.
Oh. I've got it, sir.
You happen to know where Hank rooms?
The Dodge House, Mr. Dillon.
That's pretty fancy for a cook, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, you go to supper about 6:00. And I'm gambling that Hank Ashford will be packing his things at the Dodge House by 7:00.
All right, Mr. Dillon.
Evening, Marshal.
Evening, John.
Hope you're not looking for a room. We're all filled up. Texans, mostly.
Well, that's fine. What room's Hank Ashford got?
310, Marshal. Top of the stairs, straight down the hall.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you been up to anything? Looked to be in a mite of a hurry when he come in.
He's here now?
Went upstairs just a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
Sup him up, Marshal?
Leave that gun laid where it is, mister. Here, I'll just put it in my belt. Less likely to get you in trouble that way.
You're the marshal, ain't you?
You leaving town, Hank?
Yeah, I am.
Why?
I'm tired of cooking, that's why.
You got Billy Saxton's gun up here, Hank?
What?
Or shall I tear your stuff apart and find it myself?
No, it's in that drawer there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't at that lynching, marshal. I can prove I wasn't.
Yeah, I'm sure you weren't. Shells are here. And the barrel's clean. I thought this gun killed Job Powell.
It did. I cleaned it, that's all.
You're pretty neat, Hank, for a hash house cook. Yeah, catch this.
Now what?
And you handle that gun pretty well, too, for a cook. Look at the way you're holding it now.
I don't want that gun. What are you trying to prove, Marshal?
You're a gunfighter, not a cook, Hank.
All right, Marshal. I used to handle a gun, but I'm looking for the peaceful life now. Any law against a man changing?
No, but you're under arrest anyway.
What for?
I'll think of something. Let's go.
Hank wouldn't eat any breakfast, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, that's too bad.
He says he won't be here long anyway. They all say that, don't they?
Yeah, he may be right. I see Cam Powell coming across the street for him right now.
You going to let him go, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, Marshal. What's the bail on Hank Ashford?
There's no bail at all, Cam.
What do you mean, no bail? You can't hold a man like this.
I'm not holding him.
You mean he can leave?
Anytime.
Then what'd you arrest him for in the first place?
Oh, let's say, suspicion.
Suspicion of what?
Well, drunkenness.
He wasn't drunk.
No, but he might have got drunk.
You're pretty high-handed with that badge, aren't you, Dillon?
You tell me, Cam. You ought to know about being high-handed.
We're wasting time. Turn him loose. I want to get out of here.
Chester.
I'll get him, Mr. Dillon.
Hank's a right-handy man to have around, huh, Cam?
What does that mean?
Well, he can cook. Probably turn his hand to most anything. Sort of a jack-of-all-trades, isn't he?
I wouldn't know, Marshal.
Thanks for bailing me out, Cam.
I didn't have to bail you out. You're free.
Is that right, Marshal?
That's right, Hank. So go on, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I sure will. And I'll start by having a drink. Come on, Cam, let's see if the Alfraganza's open.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
You think Hank shot Job Powell, don't you?
Well, let it be my guess, Chester.
Then why'd you let him go?
No evidence. They lynched the only witness. But I've made him a little nervous now. He'll get real jumpy with the help of some liquor.
Well, what good will that do, sir?
They just might hang themselves, Chester. Yes, with a prod or two from me.
Well, come on, Yeah.
Are you still here, gentlemen? May I buy you a drink?
What are you doing here, Marshal?
Why do you want to buy us a drink, bartender?
Give me that bottle there, will you?
Cam, I don't like this. Let's get out of here.
Wait a minute, Hank. I'm too big a man in Dodge to get pushed around by any marshal.
I just want you to have one drink before you leave, gentlemen.
Yeah. Just one.
For you, Cam. And for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, here's to may he rest in peace, Billy Saxton.
You looking for trouble, Marshal?
You're the one who's got trouble, Hank.
What do you mean? You turned me loose yourself.
Yeah, I know. But what about Cam here?
What?
You think Cam's going to let you go after everything you've told me?
What'd you tell him, Hank?
Nothing. He's lying. I told him nothing.
Then what are you talking about, Marshal?
Just that I've got about all the evidence I need, Cam. Won't you ask Hank? He can tell him. Go on.
Hank, if you cross me, I'll see you die for it.
You believe him, do you? Well, go ahead. You didn't have the guts to shoot your brother yourself.
Shut up.
Who are you going to hire to shoot me?
Shut up, blast you.
Shut me up. Shut me up, man.
Use your head. You got us in enough trouble already.
I have. If you'd let me shoot that boy when he stumbled on me, we'd have been all right.
Stop it.
You may be rich, Cam, but you sure ain't smart.
I'm going to kill you, Hank.
Well, draw on me and I'll have two pals tomorrow.
All right, hold it, both of you.
We've heard enough.
Well, there you are, Hank. Marshall's heard all he needs. You're done for now.
Yeah? Well, I shot a marshal in Trinidad once. Don't see why I can't shoot one in Dodge.
Don't try it, Hank.
Why not, Marshal?
Good riddance.
You're under arrest, Cam.
Hank shot Job Marshall's. You heard him say so.
I heard him. But I'm still interested in who murdered Billy Saxton.
And you're right back where you started, Marshal. Seems nobody knows about that lynching.
I know about it.
Bryce Stewart.
I'm not proud of it, but I was there. I witnessed the whole thing.
I'll take your gun now, Cam.
I guess you win, Marshal.
Nobody wins this time, Cam. Now, maybe the next time anybody gets an idea about lynching a man around here, they'll think twice. Now, you lead the way.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal.
Yes, they did lynch the suspect, and then it was up to Matt to prove who did it. In that episode of Gunsmoke, Lynching, from August 16, 1952. Next, Lum and Abner. Twice over, as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. While Lum is paying a secret visit to the reformatory to find out what might be best done with Mary, also known as Ellie, Abner attempts a little schooling and learns about atmospheric pressure. And we'll hear that and the subsequent episode, which gets the story along a little further, but I'm not sure that we'll ever resolve it, frankly. We'll see how far we get, though, in these two episodes. They come from August 9th and 10th, 1943. Lum and Abner.
My granny's, Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Hi, Dogis Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, jot 'em down, store. This is Lum and Abner.
Let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, Lum has left town and is heading for the state reformatory for girls. His mission is to tell the authorities that he and Abner are keeping Ellie Connors, who escaped from the reformatory, and to attempt to get her paroled. Ellie, who is now supposed to be Lum's niece Mary, knows none of the details of Lum's trip, however. As we look in on the little community today, we find Abner and Ellie, or rather Mary, in the Jot 'em Down store and library.
For the land's sake, sis, what are you just sitting there staring out the window for? Why don't you go outside and have some fun with the young'uns?
Oh, I better stay here and help you long as Uncle Lum is gone.
Oh, you don't need to do that. I tell you, there's a bunch of young'uns playing down there by the corner. Now, you go down there and join them.
Well, I don't want to.
Don't want to?
No. I ain't smart enough.
Ain't smart enough? Who said you weren't?
Clarence Bates. He said I weren't.
Why, he's got a nerve talking that away about you, the little varmint. He ain't so smart himself. Just wait till I get my hands on that young'un. I'll tell him a couple of things or two.
Well, he's right, though.
Huh?
He knows about atmospheric air pressure and all that, and he asked me if I knew it, and I never.
He knows about what?
Atmospheric air pressure.
Huh?
He says it makes boiling different in different places. He knows why, too.
Huh?
I ain't going down the corner because he's there, and I ain't smart enough.
Oh, Sassy Fresh, you're just as smart as every one young'un in this whole town. You just need a little more book learning's all you need. My doggies, I'm going to see that you get it, too.
School ain't started up yet, though.
I mean, I'm going to help you myself, and right now.
Gee, would you really help me?
Why, sure I would. Them books we got in the library, they ought to be good for something. Come on, let's just go over and look up some of that stuff.
All right. I don't think I'll ever be as smart as Clarence, though.
And you'll be twice as smart as him, Tom. I'll get through with you. See, now, I reckon whereabouts we look up that atmospheric pressure stuff anyway.
I think Clarence read it in some kind of, science book.
Oh, it wouldn't be nothing like it. Let's see now, where would that be?
Say, wasn't that your ring?
Huh? Oh, might have been. I never paid no attention to it. You wait right here while I answer it.
All right. Maybe I can find the right book.
Hello, Jot 'em Down Store and Library. Abner Peabody doing the talking. Oh, what is it, Grandpap? Checkers. No, I can't leave the store. Lum's went out of town.
Lum's went out of town.
Oh, just a little business trip. Why, no, I can't close up the store. Well, I'm sorry for you laid up, Grandpap, but I just can't do it. Well, yeah, you can do that if you want to. Oh, don't make no difference. Give me the red ones, I reckon. All right. Goodbye. That Grandpap, he's going to play me a game of checkers by himself and do my moving for me.
Well, I found it.
Huh?
About atmospheric pressure. Here, in this book here, see? Elementary General Science.
Oh, you must be mistaken about that, sis.
No, I ain't. No. No, it's got listed right here in the index. You see there? Atmospheric pressure. And here it says, effect on boiling points.
Well, I do know. Reckon now how it happened to get in that book.
Well, that's where Clarence got it.
Well, if that Clarence can get it, I know as you can, too. What page does it say there to look on?
192.
192. Well, we'll just make quick work of this. Let's see. 192. Right, now listen close now. If there's anything you don't understand, why, just don't be afraid to speak right up and tell me.
No, I won't.
You see, it looks like it right here. The rule about boiling under other pressures than one atmosphere is. The higher the pressure, the higher the temperature required to make the liquid boil and vice versa.
What does that mean?
Well, I reckon it means just what it says there, honey.
Oh. Well, read it over again, then, huh?
Well, now, I don't believe that's the important part. This looks more interesting right here. Now, listen to this.
All right.
For example, on tops of high mountains, the temperature at which boiling takes place is so low that eggs cannot be cooked. Huh, that's cuter.
Why is that, Uncle Abner?
Well, let me finish this, honey. In Cripple Creek, Colorado, which is approximately 10,000 feet above sea level, it takes about twice as long to cook eggs as it does in Boston.
There, that's exactly what Clarence said.
That sounds awful curious to me, but I reckon it must be right. It's in the book.
Oh, it's right. Clarence says it so.
Well, it's just one thing to do, then, that help you figure it out here now while we're right here talking about it. Of course, one thing's going to sort of hold me back, and it's because I ain't never been to Cripple Creek.
Oh. Have you ever been to Boston?
No, I ain't been there neither, no. But I'll say one thing for me, though. I've boiled a batch of eggs in my life, I know that. And I'll say this, too. It always takes just as long to cook them one place as it did another.
It's different in Cripple Creek, though.
Yeah, well, we figured out. You see, it takes twice as long in Cripple Creek as it does in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Well, honey, either they're getting them overdone in Cripple Creek or they ain't getting them done enough in Boston, one or the other.
Well, not according to Clarence, no. He says they come out the same.
Barney, that little Clarence knows too much for his own good, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, he's smart. I wish I was, too.
Takes twice as long, you see. Well, now, here's what it sort of looks like to me, Mary.
Yeah.
It just looks like them folks in Cripple Creek ain't caught on to how to cook their eggs yet.
No, it's got something to do with them being so high up in the air.
Yeah, well, that's more likely it, see. It's them hill folks there, they're awful slow about catching on to stuff like that. Awful backwards, you know, living there in the mountains and all. Sort of country people, I reckon. That's just about the trouble right there. They just ain't catched on to it.
No, that ain't it, Uncle Abner.
Well, it's bound to be. Of course, I don't think it's very nice of them folks in Boston to go around bragging on themselves.
Well, it isn't anything about Boston, though.
Well, they was bragging on how fast they could cook their eggs. Lord me alive, that ain't hard to do. Anybody knows how to boil eggs.
You got it all wrong, Uncle Abner.
Huh?
Why, Clarence would just laugh at me if I told him that.
Doggies, he better not let me catch him doing it. I can tell you that right now.
Now, Clarence said there was different boiling points in different places because the atmospheric pressure made it different.
Aw, oh, prattle.
Well, maybe you better let me have the book and I'll try to figure it out.
No, ma'am. I'll help you with it. I don't want you running around being ignorant. No, sir.
Well, you don't need to bother. You got other work to do.
No, I don't want Clarence or no other young'un to get ahead of you now, Mary. We'll do this
right. Your phone rings.
Huh?
You better answer it.
Oh, yeah. Well, here, now, you hold a book for just a minute. I don't lose my place.
No,
I'll explain it all to you. Jot him down, store and library. Abner Peabody doing the talking. What do you want now, Grandpap? Huh? I lost the game. I doggies, you must have cheated then. Well, you must have. I cheated. Now, how could I? I weren't even over there. Well, now, listen here, Grandpappy Spears. You play that game over again. And this time, when it's your move, why, you move for yourself. And when it's my move, you be sure to do your best moving and no cheating. Yeah, well, you just watch it now. Play the game fair. All right. Goodbye. That playmate, Grandpap, you can't trust him no way. Let's see now, sis. Where was we at?
Mm. Well, I think I sort of understand it now.
Yeah, but now I want to be sure now that you get it right. Hand me the book again.
Well, huh? You don't need to buy it.
Yes, I do now. Just like Romola says, what's worth doing well at all is worth doing well at all. You see, is this the page we're on right
here? Yes, I understand. Yeah, but this is...
Just a minute now. I just got another idea here and on this, too.
Abner, I...
No, now, be quiet now. Let me concentrate. Maybe them folks in Cripple Creek ain't using the right kind of a pan to do their cooking in. Or it might be that they ain't putting enough wood in the stove, or might be using green wood, one you can't tell.
No, I don't believe that's it, no. You see, in the book there, it says that the boiling point of a liquid...
Wait a minute, let me look at the book again now, sis. Be quiet now, just don't... Here, get your head out of the way now so I can see it. I ain't sure no more where this book knows what it's talking about or not, but it might tell something in here that we never have saw before.
Please, never mind, Uncle Abner.
A liquid will boil only when its temperature is such that its vapor pressure is equal to the pressure on its surface. That's gum, that phone, anyway.
Well, here, I'll put the book back on the shelf.
No, I want you to get this just a minute. Hello, jot 'em down, store. Huh? What? Now, don't tell me the checker game's over already, Grandpap. Broke up? What happened? Oh, we had an argument, huh? Well, I'm proud it broke up then, because I hate to play with a feller that cheats. Why, it weren't neither me that cheated, it was you. Oh, sassy frass, prettily prattle. Honor at the farm, snake in the weeds. Yes, see now. Let me see the book again now, Mary.
Well, I put it back, Uncle Abner. I think I'll go down to the corner and play with the kids.
Well, all right. If that's what you want to do, honey, go ahead.
I'm sorry I bothered you about all this.
Oh, why, it weren't no bother at all.
Well, I won't do it again.
Oh, now, you listen here, Mary. Anytime you get another problem, you just come right to me with it. That's the only way in the world you'll ever learn these things. That's the only way.
Granny's, Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Aye, Doggy's Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, jot 'em down, store. This is Lum and Abner.
See what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, Lum is still away on his secret mission to attempt to get Ellie Connors paroled from the state reform school for girls. Abner's kept pretty busy explaining Lum's trip to Ellie, who suspects that there is more to Lum's journey than she has been told. As we look in on the little community today, we find Ellie, or Mary, as she is now called, in the Jot 'em Down store and library. Abner is just entering.
Mary, look what come in the mail today.
What is it?
A postcard from Lum. He sent it from Hot Springs.
Oh, gee, can I see it?
Why, sure. It's wrote to both of us. Look here. It says, Dear Abner and Mary.
Mary.
Am feeling fine. Hope you are sane. Left Hot Springs and arrived here sound and safe.
Arrived where?
Well, wherever he's at, I reckon.
I bet you I know where that is, too.
Huh?
It's a state home.
Stay home.
He went there to find out about me and had me sent back there, too.
Now, listen here, sis. Do you actually think Lum would do a thing like that?
Well, no.
Well, I know Lum never has told you this, but he just thinks the world and all of you.
Does he really?
Why, sure he does. See, Lum, he's a bachelor, and he ain't never had no young'uns of his own, and whilst he never come right out flat-footed and admitted to it, that's the one thing he'd rather have than every one thing this.
Oh.
So now you just get them ideas out of your pretty little head, sis.
Yes, sir. What else does the postcard say?
It says, arrive here, sound and safe. Am seeing a feller this afternoon on business.
On business.
Wish me luck. Hope everything is fine there. Everything is fine here.
Fine.
With lots of love, Lum.
It's a nice postcard, ain't it?
Oh, that Lum, he writes a postcard. Yes, sir, he sure does. He writes one. He sure does write it. Yeah.
I never got no postcard before.
You never?
Uh-uh.
Well, didn't your mama and papa ever send you one?
Uh-uh. I don't have a mama.
Oh, I see. Well, didn't your papa ever write you one?
Uh-uh.
Huh. Oh, well, more likely he's just too busy to sit around and write postcards to a young one. What does your papa do for a living anyway? You never did tell us nothing about him.
Oh, he works.
Yeah, I mean, what sort of work does he do? I mean, what line of business is he in?
I guess I'll go outdoors and play now.
Huh?
I promised Virginia Blevins I'd come over to her house today.
Oh, well, sure. Run along. Enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm, I will. Oh, gee, I pretty near forgot something. Something I have to look up.
Look up?
Uh-huh. I got to find out about Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Uh-huh. The kids keep asking me questions about it, and I never know what to answer.
Oh,
they think it's funny I don't know more about my own hometown.
Yeah, doggy, that's right, ain't it? Long as you're supposed to be Lum's niece from Wisconsin, I reckon it would be a good idea if you know something about it. I'll tell you, get the almanac. That tells everything there is to know about Wisconsin. Yes, sir.
Will that tell the kind of stuff the kids ask me about?
Why, sure. Just read a few pages of it. The almanac will tell you all you need to know. Excuse me just a second while I get the phone there.
Yeah, all right.
Hello, jot 'em down, store and library. Abner Peabody doing the talking. Oh, what is it, Cedric? Got what? Insomnia. Oh, well, I wondered why you weren't sleeping now, long as you're working nights again. Yeah, it is awful hot. Well, all I can suggest is you count sheep, Cedric. Try that, huh? Uh-huh. Well, that's about all I ever know to do. If I think any other way to get you to sleep, I'll call you back. Yeah, not at all, Cedric. Goodbye. Poor Cedric. Got the insomnia. It's so hot this afternoon, he can't get a wink of sleep.
Can counting sheep help him a bit?
No, because he has to keep getting up out of bed all the time to ask his mama what comes after 18. You find out anything about Wisconsin in the almanac?
Yeah, but kids don't ask me any of this stuff.
What stuff?
Oh, like, Wisconsin ranks fifth in zinc production, fourth in iron ore output, and the fisheries are highly productive.
Well, that's handy stuff to know, I reckon.
But the kids ask me what my hometown looks like and what color house I live in.
Oh, well, you can just make all that stuff up, sis. Say you live in a red house. They'll never know the difference. None of them's ever been to Wisconsin, either.
Red house, huh?
Yeah, but you ought to know that stuff in the almanac there, because they might have read the almanac themselves, you know.
Somebody ain't going to ask me where Wisconsin ranks in zinc production.
Well, they might now. They might ask you how many sinks you have in your house or something like that. Wait a minute, Tuck, I'm squire skim. You just keep reading that. It'll help you a whole lot now.
I don't think so.
So good, I wish I could think of some way to help poor Cedric get to sleep. That boy, he needs it working all night long. Well, howdy, squire.
Well, gentlemen, gentlemen. Oh, that is, gentlemen and Miss Mary. Well, how are you today, Miss Mary?
Oh, I'm fine.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear. I just stopped in for a can of tobacco, Abner. You know my brand there.
Yeah, sure. Long work to after all these years, Squire. I'll get it.
Yes, indeed. Well, Miss Mary, how are you enjoying your visit to our fair city?
Oh, it's fine.
Well, good. You know, I believe that you put on a little weight since I saw you that day at the county seat. Our climate and food here must agree with you.
Yes, sir. It agrees just fine.
Yes, sir, that's good. By the way, Miss Mary, what city in Wisconsin do you live in?
Why,
Sheboygan and Falls. Here's your tobacco, Squire.
Oh, yes, much obliged, Abner. Put it down on the books, Abner.
Yeah, done did it already.
Yeah, that's fine, fine. Well, drop in again, Squire. Oh, yes, it's a will, Abner. She boy been falls, huh?
Yes, sir. Live in a red house.
Oh, well, that's nice, nice. Yes, it's quite a pretty town, Sheboygan Falls. See, I used to travel all through that country up there. Know the town well.
You do?
How's the insurance business these days, Squire?
Oh, just fair, Abner. Oh, yes, I used to stop over at the hotel quite frequently. By the way, do you know Joe Coleman?
No, I don't think I do.
That's strange. I thought everybody in town knew Joe Coleman. That's very odd. Well, I've got to get back over to the place. I'll see you later, Abner. And good day to you, Miss Mary.
Good day.
Yeah, so long, Squire.
Oh. Gee, I'm glad he's gone.
Huh?
I don't think I like him.
Oh, Squire's all right, Mary.
I don't like the way he looks at you and says, that's strange.
Well, he just likes to talk. Doggies, I wonder if blowing into a paper sack would do it.
What? Blowing in a paper sack?
Yes, sir. It's funny. I never thought of that before.
What are you talking about, Uncle Abner?
Oh, nothing. I got to call Cedric. You go over and read up on Wisconsin now, sis.
All right.
Hey, why don't you sit by the door there, Mary? Get a little breeze. Might be cooler.
The breeze is hotter in the air in here.
Oh, hello? Who is this, Miss Weehunt? This is Abner Peabody. I'd like to speak to Cedric, please, Mom. Well, would you mind waking him up? This is important. Yes, Mom, awful important. All right, I'll wait. Oh, because his mama never wanted to wake him up. He find anything interesting, Mary?
Devil's Lake in Sauk County is set between Mammoth Quartzite Bluff.
Well, that's nice.
It is fed by springs and has no visible outlet.
Oh, that's a shame. Hello, Cedric? It don't sound like you. Wake up, Cedric. Shake yourself there. You're still asleep. Cedric, you're standing there in the kitchen, ain't you? Well, throw a dipper of cold water in your face. That'll wake you. I'll wait. Don't get that boy. Standing there trying to talk so groggy, don't know what he's doing hardly at all. Still asleep. hello? Cedric? Are you awake now? You sure? Well, listen, Cedric. I just thought of something. This will solve everything for you. Get a paper sack and blow into it for 3 minutes. Yeah, that's right. Oh, don't matter what color, just any paper sack. Oh, not at all, Cedric, not at all. Goodbye.
What were you telling Cedric to do that for?
Oh, of course, he's got this terrible insomnia, and that'll get him to sleep.
Oh, no. That's for curing the hiccups.
Huh, hiccups? I don't get that right, ain't it? Oh, me. Reckon how come me to make a mistake like that? Well, here, I better call him back again, then.
Do I have to read any more in this book?
Well, I would if I was you. I think you ought to know all you can about Wisconsin. I know if I... Hello? Cedric? Well, listen, Cedric, about putting your head in that paper sack. Oh. Done did it, huh? Oh. Well, yeah, well, try counting sheep again. That might get rid of them. Yeah, let me know how everything comes out. All right, goodbye. Poor Cedric, he has more troubles.
What's wrong now?
Why, he can't get back to sleep now because he's got the hiccup.
Lum and Abner from August 9th and 10th, 1943, with kind of, well, a conundrum in the background there as we have some education in particular there about Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin, because after all, Mary is supposed to be from there. Next up, NBC's short story, With Honor, You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.